Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. You're about to listen to something that comes from J.B. Campbell. For those who don't know, J.B. Campbell is an American who went and fought in Rhodesia. I was talking to J.B. Campbell recently, and he found this audio. This is from a show that he did on the 5th of February 2013. And what he's doing here is he's telling a lady about a meeting that he attended in his area. I think it was in his county. And during this meeting, he went and he spoke about gun control, and he gave his views on gun control. And in a nutshell, his point is that gun control is treason. And that is a brilliant take on gun control. I think it's dead right. And it's best said that way. That in America, people have got access to weapons. Part of the American Constitution. It's the Second Amendment. I have mentioned that America is based on the Roman Empire. And there are various aspects of that which we will revisit. Even American academics talk about that. The founding fathers of America wanted America to be a better Rome. And in the Roman Empire, at the heart and soul of everything, was what is best for the masses. The real issue in America is that Jews and their liberal scum are trying to get rid of the guns. And they're trying to get rid of the guns because they're in the hands of the whites. This is not quite that obvious, but I've looked at this a lot, and I must tell you, this is the driving force of the whole thing. If you look really carefully, you'll see that it's Jews that are getting real jumpy. And there are many aspects of the Jewish nonsense in America, which shows me that Jews are very concerned that whites are going to blow them away. These are paranoid scum from all their previous times when they got up to their nonsense. And I assure you, they are the driving force, the real driving force behind all this gun stuff. And that all this gun ownership nonsense is about getting the weapons not out of the hands of black Americans who own guns. It's not about getting it out of the hands of the criminals. The real thing that's going on here is Jews want the guns out of the hands of the legal white gun owners. Make no mistake, that's what's behind this. Because Jews know that when push comes to shove, that one day white's going to get angry and white's going to pop them. And that's why they are so jumpy about all kinds of anti-Semitism and all that kind of stuff. They are paranoid, and they're paranoid because in the past they've committed crimes and whites have gone after them. But they've not been slaughtered the way that they claim. All their stories are highly exaggerated. Anyway, here is J.B. Campbell giving some hard talk in America, and this is excellent, and I totally agree with him. Gun control is treason. If somebody tries to disarm whites, it mustn't be accepted. Even we whites in South Africa have got some access to guns. Not as much as you guys have, and I wish we could get the kind of access you guys have, but even so, what bit we've got, it's very important. Whites everywhere must get weapons, must arm up. whites everywhere on this planet must arm up, because that is the only way to survive the future. There are nasty, nasty things that other scum, other racial enemies have got in store for us. And being disarmed is really not good for any of us. It's time to return to our ancient ways, our pagan ways, our Roman ways. You'll see that whites at all times had weapons in the ancient past. 2,000 years and more ago, we had weapons. Always. And we must go back to that. Always have weapons, always be armed. And you'll see, we'll be fine. And those who want to take away our weapons, you need to say to yourself, what are these scum really up to? What is their disgusting little plan? Because make no mistake, they have got hideous ideas. Anyway, here is J.B. Campbell. This is from 2013, and this is excellent.
Well, you know, that thing I wrote and delivered the other night, it was probably the best thing I've written.
Well, why don't you go through it with us?
Okay, because it's pretty hard-hitting, and I think it's pretty pretty current with what's going on.
Absolutely. So go for it.
Yeah, I kind of entitled the whole meeting. I gave an interview in the local paper, what it was going to be about, and I said, well, the keynote would be that gun control is treason. So I said, who is it besides the rabid dogs in the Obama administration that wants us disarmed? Well, the United Nations wants us disarmed. Communist China wants us disarmed. The Israel lobby wants us disarmed. And of course, the Mexican drug cartel wants us disarmed. These are the international gangsters. They have requested, now they have demanded that the Obama gangsters disarm us. It's quite possible that a belligerent meeting such as this one is what the Obama gangsters want. It's quite possible that we are being pushed and goaded into violent responses to their violent provocations, such as the sadistic police behavior we've seen all over the country. So what? They mean to enslave all of us and kill some of us. We're going to have to fight back sooner or later, regardless of whom it pleases or displeases. It's either fight or start waving the white flag, and I doubt that anyone in here is ever going to wave the white flag. Nope, we'll fight it out and see who wins. I'm pretty sure it's going to be us. There's no doubt that many police departments are encouraged to brutalize us civilians. There's also no denying that many police departments have been trained in Israel or are being trained by visiting Israeli instructors in this country. Anyone can see where this is leading. It's leading to a totalitarian dictatorship. But only if the dictatorship can get us to hand over our guns. So it doesn't matter what the Obama gangsters think they want. What matters is what we want. What matters is what we are going to do about it. We pay the bills and we'll make the decisions. Anyone who's hoping there's a safe, legal, and peaceful way to hold on to his guns is going to be disappointed. Gun control is about who is going to run this country, us or the foreign gangsters. We're not sure, of course, but it's possible that Obama himself is a foreign gangster. We're still waiting on the ID. If it's going to be us, then we need to be ready at the drop of a hat to fight like wildcats. The threat we face ranges from a militarized police takeover of the sheriff's department to the Blackwater-type mercenaries we saw during Katrina, right up to full martial law run by the U.S. Army and or the United Nations. All of these would be run by the CIA front groups such as FEMA and Homeland Security. We've already seen the Army field manuals on occupation and concentration camps for American dissidents. As we've seen from the Vietnam, the Iraq, and Afghanistan disasters, some places cannot be successfully occupied by the U.S. or U.N. military, no matter how hard they try. Some can, such as Japan, South Korea, and West Germany, but some cannot. All thugs and bullies can be beaten because they're mainly into it for the money and the other bennies. It just takes guns and the guts to use them as they were meant to be used. We just need to get it into our heads that Teton County is one county in Idaho that will not be messed with or intimidated no matter what. As we see day after day, over and over, the gangsters deal in horrific and merciless brutality, mainly overseas, but increasingly here at home. It's called state terror. Neither the Democrats nor the Republicans object to state terror, whether it's mass murder by bombers or assassination by drones, bombing weddings and funerals, or sadistic grunts kidnapping, torturing, raping, and murdering anyone who might resent American brutality. The list of American terrorism around the world is too long for this meeting. Many of us have suspected that our military men and women have been trained in Iraq and Afghanistan to brutalize civilians over there as a prelude to do the same to civilians over here. This suspicion began with the infamous 45 questions for soldiers and Marines in 1994, and again just last week with the report that Obama's litmus test for generals keeping their jobs is their willingness to kill American resistors. The authors of American state terror, the politicians and the killers, are the same gangsters who want us to hand over our guns to them. The government knows that America is in an explosive condition, thanks entirely to what the government has been doing to us, especially with 9/11 and its planned tyrannical aftermath known as the War on Terror. It has been waging the War on Terror against foreigners in our name. The government has always planned to attack us Americans, and now it is doing so. The War on Terror included the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act and the annual National Defense Authorization Act. The Patriot Act obliterated the Bill of Rights. The Fourth Amendment is no more. The Gang of Nine on the Supreme Court has found no constitutional problem with the Patriot Act or with any tyrannical action of the Bush and Obama gangsters. We are not going to be protected by anyone in any part of the federal, state, or local government. It is up to us to protect ourselves from the tyrants. It has always been up to us, but human nature being what it is, we have trusted our employees to take care of us. That was very bad judgment on our part. It was lazy, it was cowardly, and it was wrong. It is reasonable to expect them to join with us against the federal tyrants, but this is our responsibility. After all, we pay the bills. It is estimated by the government that there are between 300 and 400 million firearms in America today. There are more guns in America than there are cars, and guns don't tend to wear out. The only thing that stands in the way of a declaration of a totalitarian dictatorship by the Obama administration is this massive number of guns in our hands. And there is the historical fact that America came into being as a result of the violent overthrow of a totalitarian dictatorship. It was not done by Americans fighting a foreign enemy. It was done by Englishmen fighting their own English government. When the fighting was over, the English rebels had become Americans. The government knows that it cannot disarm us physically. It is an impossibility. The next best thing is to disarm us mentally, psychologically. As the current Attorney General Holder admitted years ago in a different administration, we need to be brainwashed, that's his word, to give up our guns. I started the militia movement 30 years ago this year to counter the attempt by government to brainwash us to give up our guns. I think the movement was successful, at least to that extent. The militia movement was the biggest, fastest-growing voluntary armed movement in American history. It came out of nowhere, at a time much less dangerous than today. It collapsed from the shocking federal massacre at Oklahoma City in 1995. 18 years later, we are mentally much tougher and more sophisticated than we were then. Federal atrocities still shock us, but they no longer make us doubt ourselves or the correctness of our duty. Thanks to the miracle of the internet and thanks to the power-mad overreach of the federal gangsters, millions of heavily armed Americans understand what we are about to experience, which is the naked, violent struggle between the tyrants and the normal people who only want to be left alone. The tyrants cannot leave us alone. They must control us without limit. Violence is the American way. It is our history, and it is our way. The American tendency to violence has been exploited by the government in its genocidal wars against foreigners. The NDAA for last year authorized the arrest and disappearance of Americans in secret with no due process. The NDAA allows federal agents and the military to kidnap, torture, and murder Americans who are considered enemies of the state. Senator Carl Levin revealed last year that these tyrannical licenses to kidnap, torture, and murder us were placed in the NDAA on Obama's insistence. So now we are confronted with another attempt to outlaw assault rifles. Everyone in this room knows what an assault rifle really is. A machine rifle that goes fully automatic and fires an intermediate cartridge. Intermediate means that the brass is shorter and holds less gunpowder and creates a slower bullet velocity than a regular rifle cartridge. Examples are the AK-47, the M-16, and even the old American M-2 carbine. Assault rifle is now a politically motivated term of hatred, an attempt to make the gun owner appear aggressive and homicidal just by owning one. The term comes from the German original Sturmgewehr, or storm rifle, a word coined by Adolf Hitler to describe the first one, the STG-44. I kind of like the word, so I'll use it tonight. Remember, a storm rifle is really not a storm rifle unless it can be fired full auto. We'll just pretend for now that we're talking about storm rifles and not their semi-automatic cousins that are legal to buy unless you live in Connecticut, which brings up another interesting question. We know that the feds aren't against storm rifles for everyone, just us. The president and the other politicians are surrounded by storm rifles and submachine guns for their own protection. It's because they work real good. The president supplies a storm rifle to every soldier and Marine he sends overseas to kill foreigners. Homeland Security just put out a request for bids on 7,000 actual full-auto storm rifles, except when DHS wants some, they are renamed personal defense weapons. In our hands, they are known as assault weapons. We see how that works. The CIA has provided storm rifles and much more to the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Libya and Syria to overthrow those governments. It did the same thing to the Al-Qaeda rebels in Afghanistan in the 80s, where the CIA and Zbigniew Brzezinski actually invented Al-Qaeda. The president and his attorney general have provided thousands of civilian and military storm rifles to the Mexican drug cartels, which they use to kill, reportedly, thousands of Mexicans and even some Americans. Are the Mexicans in the drug cartels our friends or our enemies? The feds are conducting a war on drugs. This war has been a declared war by all presidents and funded by the Congress, going back to Nixon. Can we assume, given that we are waging the war on drugs, that the drug cartel members would be considered our enemies? What is the definition of treason? It is to give aid and comfort to an enemy in time of war. We're in a declared war. Our leaders have given not just aid and comfort, but thousands of storm rifles to our enemy during this war, which the enemy used to slaughter thousands of Mexicans and also some Americans to justify disarming us. It really doesn't get more treasonous than that. What Obama and Holder did was not only treason, it was international terrorism, according to Title 22, U.S. Code, 2656F sub D. Go to the CIA's website, that's cia.gov, and you can get the CIA's definition of terrorism, which is, quote, "The term terrorism means premeditated, politically motivated violence perpetrated against non-combatant targets by clandestine agents or groups. It continues, the term international terrorism means terrorism involving the territory or the citizens of more than one country, unquote. Does that sound like Fast and Furious to you? I know, it also sounds like Panama, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, and on and on. Tonight, though, we're just talking about gun control. But how revolting is it that these animals would provide storm rifles, which they bought with TARP bailout money, to the most sadistic head-chopping murderers in Mexico, with orders to mow down thousands of Mexicans merely to justify the annulment of the Second Amendment? These guys are really playing with fire in a desperate attempt to disarm us. They, along with the narco-assassins, are remorseless killers. I have another definition of treason. Gun control is treason. Excuse me. Anyone and everyone in the gun confiscation food chain is a traitor to the people and the country, from the very top to the very bottom. We all know what the penalty for treason is. Anyone who would disarm us, take away our ability to defend ourselves, is our deadly enemy. It doesn't matter what his or her excuse is. It's an act of war against us. There's no legal or procedural method to stop a gun grabber. The official gun grabber, who means to strip you defenseless, can only be stopped with a gun. He's the most dangerous enemy we have because he's got a license to kill us. The license is good for any reason or for no reason at all. In Indiana, it's illegal to try to stop an official home invasion, even if there's no warrant, even if they got the wrong house. I doubt this law will last long, along with the judge who dreamed it up. The best cure for official warrantless home invasions is about 5 rounds of buckshot zinging down the hallway as they storm in, screaming obscenities and pounding on the walls. The fun and excitement will leak out of that sort of thing very quickly. This is America. America was founded in violence, and it runs on violence. The colonists tried for decades to obtain in a peaceful manner their freedom from the vicious, greedy English dictatorship. It was impossible. Change and freedom could only be obtained through violent revolution. The violent nature of America will never change. The bad guys always have guns. It's a fact of life. The worst guys have some of the most impressive guns. We know this because we paid for them. I'm talking about government gunmen. It is our sacred duty to defend ourselves and our loved ones from government gunmen who are at this very moment planning and devising ways to strip us defenseless and put us someplace where we're never heard from again. We might ask ourselves what these remorseless traitors have in store for us that first requires us to be disarmed. We've seen what they've done to others at Abu Ghraib, Bagram, Guantanamo, and in secret CIA torture centers all around the world. CIA and Army whistleblowers are being sent to prison for trying to warn us what is in store for opponents of the American warlords. Does anyone think we can trust torturers to be nice to us after we hand over our guns to them? We normal, decent Americans already have the necessary equipment to defend ourselves from government gunmen who want to disarm us. We've got all the guns we need. Ammunition is another matter. The current shortage of ammunition is a serious development. A first step is to encourage manufacturers to sell only to American civilians and not to the Department of Homeland Security or any agency of the federal government. These agencies are deliberately creating ammo shortages with their insane orders for billions of rounds. After all, we're paying the bills, so the ammo needs to go to us, the actual owners. Okay, so the subject tonight is gun control in our county. How should we respond if Feinstein's bill, or something like it, an executive order by Obama, becomes law? obviously, we will ignore it and continue to trade among ourselves and with others, other like-minded Americans. But what if confiscation becomes law? At that point, we start making changes. We, the ones who paid the bills, take over the law. Our law will become what used to be known as frontier justice. Attempts at confiscation will receive the death penalty. We have no choice in this life and death matter. Anyone who would disarm us is our deadly enemy and must be put to death. We will not try to hide behind elected officials. We are responsible for everything, especially including our self-defense. We here in the county cannot expect a sheriff and a handful of deputies to fight federal gun grabbers for us, which is a preposterous idea. The sheriff and his deputies can certainly help us and are expected to do so. But we will take full responsibility for defending ourselves. We need to have secure communications with each other that will continue to function if cell towers or generators are turned off by man or nature. We must develop a standard procedure of immediate action in the event any county resident is attacked by gun grabbers. This is the essence of our new Neighborhood Watch program, our readiness to defend our fellow residents from federal attackers. This will also apply to any attempt at police or military roadblocks in our county. Travel is not a privilege, it is a natural right. Roadblocks will not be allowed to exist. There will also be no TSA or DHS aggression allowed or tolerated in the county. We now know that drones have been used against us here in the valley, so we encourage the shooting down of these dangerous weapons at the first opportunity. Look up when you hear something overhead. We learned in the Rhodesian War that the safest way to travel through terrorist-infested areas was to have a convoy of at least two vehicles, several hundred yards apart. It will certainly come to that in many parts of America, but we must begin thinking in these terms even in our own county. That concluded my prepared remarks.
I would have stood up and given you a standing ovation. Is that what happened?
That's not what happened. I think the people were rather stunned by what I said. They just didn't know what to think. Some of them really liked it, I think. They came up and congratulated me, but a lot of them were just totally taken aback, including the sheriff.
And you attribute this to indoctrination and brainwashing, and not the kind that is done in some institution, but the kind that people readily accept by watching TV and by believing in what the politicians tell them, even though we've known for decades that the politicians always lie.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. Thank the whites, thank the whites.